those avenues into those conversations to be a little bit easier. And we owe it. We have a responsibility and vulnerability to our friends now, where it's important that we start speaking about this topic or start speaking about our feelings more, because we can't wait until it's our mate. It's one of those issues now that.
Hello and welcome to what is the final episode of Series 1. Sadly, it has come to an end after an amazing 8 episodes, and what an honour it has been to host them. But it's not over yet, hopefully more episodes and series to come in the future. So for now, let's celebrate what this last episode has to hold. Luke Barrow is this week's guest. What an absolute inspiration this man is. He's accomplished so much around his life already, but it hasn't been an easy ride for him. A couple of years ago, while out living in Australia, he was having the time of his life. But in the space of 10 days, he found out his mum's cancer had spread, and sadly, after those 10 days, she did pass away. Obviously, this sent Luke into a very downward spiral. He didn't want to speak to anyone, he sucked up all his emotions, and it really ate away at him. Very common as normal days in men's mental health, and previous years, of course. Which sadly led to social anxiety and depression for Luke. A really tough time, it must have been incredibly hard to get through. But nonetheless, a couple of months later, he turned it around with one pint. I'd say it's one pint, it probably was quite a few more than one pint, but he describes it as he sat around the table sharing a couple of pints with his friends, and they all started open about their own feelings and emotions, just because the pint settles the body and you start to really trust your friends in that environment. So Luke took that and thought it'd be an amazing idea to put towards men's mental health, hence creating the platform 2 Pints Deep, a men's mental health and suicide prevention charity. Luke's done so well leading this in the last couple of years, and it's such an amazing charity now. It helps so many people. Obviously, men's mental health is a big topic. It's something that hasn't been spoken enough about in society for a long time. But now, over the last couple of years, the progression of the movement has started to go in the right direction. Myself, I have struggled with mental health a lot, especially from my accident. It did progress things. I got diagnosed with something called OCD, so obsession compulsion disorder, which really does put bad images and sort of thoughts into my head. It's hard to describe, really, and compulsions to sort of solve them. Because of the trauma I experienced in the accident, that's really what sparked it for me, and it got to a level that was really bad a couple of years ago, and now it's got to I've sort of progressed, and it's got to a level which is bearable. I still live with it day to day, and if I didn't have the right help to help me along the journey, it could have been a very different scenario. So men's mental health and speaking up about it is really important to me. I also got diagnosed with depression at that time as well, so it's been a hard and not easy journey, but I like to share it so help other people, hopefully listen to this, who may be bottling it up, help spread awareness and actually show that it's not a weakness, it's a strength to talk about men's mental health, because it's an everyday thing. People often said to me as well, when they look to me and other people who have had disabilities or bad stuff and then they've done their fundraising, whatever, and bounce back from it and said, "You're such an inspiration. It must have been so hard physically." Physically, it was the easy bit, really. It's the mental bit that's definitely the hardest. So please, if you are listening to this and are struggling, don't be afraid to ask for help. Of course, if you need help, there are going to be plenty of links below to help you find the right stuff you need. But without further ado, please enjoy our final episode of the series, Mr. Luke Barrow, everybody. Of course, we did actually record this over Zoom and he was in a cafe, so the audio is not great. But nonetheless, enjoy the episode. And as ever, we'll see you on the other side. So Luke, firstly, I want to say what a massive inspiration you are, mate, because the platform you've already created has helped so many people like myself. And I've had some personal experience with suicide myself. Obviously, I struggle with a condition called OCD, if you know what that is. So which you have compulsions, obsessions. Which did lead a path to depression a couple of years ago, but luckily I sort of come out of that. But the one thing that really I first came across your page was when, sadly, a bloke at our school at Malvern College, I just recently left the year, called James Pickering, took his own life. And then we sort of, I don't know how it happened, but I suddenly came across your page and it sort of got sparked through that. And then we got immersed in the world of your story. So could we just sort of go back to the really start for you and how it really developed your mental health journey from the very start?
Of course. So I guess my mental health journey really started about 5.5 years ago. I was living and working over in Australia. where I've been for the past the previous sort of couple of years playing football and kind of living what I thought at the time was my best life and enjoying everything that that life was throwing at me. Unfortunately, my mum was battling cancer back at home, and it got to the point that her condition deteriorated. I got a call from my dad while I was over in Australia, who told me that I probably needed to come home immediately with the latest scan results. From then, my life turned upside down within 10 days. Lost my mum within a week, and went from living my best life to my worst life. And I didn't really handle that change well. I'd been away for 2 years, so maybe didn't have the connections and relationships with my friends back at home in place who to then have those conversations. But I thought really the best thing I could do was to be all right for my dad and support him, got back to living with him. So within that process, I was hit a lot by the stigma surrounding, I think, how men struggle really, particularly with their mental health, barriers to opening up, thinking being a man was being strong and being okay for my dad rather than, I guess, letting things get too much and letting those emotions out. And over that sort of following 6 to 9 months, I really struggled with my own mental health, lots of social anxiety, didn't want to go out and have a conversation about how I was feeling, and slipped into some really depressing times as well that contributed to me, I guess, slipping into online sports gambling to try and get myself away from the situation I was in. And I didn't tell anyone about any of this because I didn't want anyone to know. I was fairly embarrassed and also had never broached these type of subjects with my family or friends before. So it was a really difficult time that I went through. But I only really started speaking about my mental health after I'd had a couple of pints. So hence the word 2 pints deep.
Absolutely. Yeah. And you described it as, I mean, on your website, you described it as the best, you've gone for the best period of your life to sort of, within 10 days, like you said, like probably the worst period of your life. Is that what the whole charity you think's about, really? Helping those people that, it can get thrust upon you really quickly. For me, my accident happened, within 30 seconds. I was hit by a tractor and then my life's completely changed. So is that what you'd like to focus on a bit of the charity as well?
Yeah, I guess the real focus of it is the relatability of my situation, not the experience that I went through, but the thoughts, process, and the emotions that I went through. We all have a mental health that can at any point be derailed or can at any point be affected by things. And I guess what we're trying to do is raise awareness and get men preparing for when those situations and if those situations happen by improving the connections and relationships they have with their friends, improving their view and appreciation of conversation and understanding the importance of that. But also understanding that the vulnerability that does exist is okay and it is a strength to show. And then finally, that our big sort of charitable push with everything will be, all right, you're ready to talk and you know how to. Here's where you can go. And kind of when I was struggling my most as well, I Googled things. The NHS waiting list was so long and I just didn't really know where to go. And it's, I guess, battling that accessibility factor that's so important when people are struggling at this with their mental health at this stage.
Absolutely, and the male suicide rate. I mean, obviously you obviously are a male suicide charity and well mental health charity. I would say that, and the rate that's going out is tremendous. Year upon year, it's just gradually getting bigger and bigger. Do you think it's important that other charities like mine should sort of focus solely a bit more on men's mental health because it's always sort of a group thing. But I feel like not being sexist here, but women sort of have more open chats, and like you said, over the 2 pints, that's usually, your body gets a bit more relaxed and you open up a bit more. Do you think that's really a key point to get across to people that actually to check up on your male friends is a big thing, and it needs to be sort of improved in society?
Yeah, as you said, it's definitely been an issue, and it's an issue that keeps getting worse. We've just had the most recent statistics room where it's the worst since 1999. So there's a definite problem there. I think the major aspect is we need different ways to solve that problem. Suicide is different in every community, in every town around the UK. There's lots of issues that can contribute to it, but socioeconomic factors are a big factor in that. The worst areas of the UK, more suicide, northwest, northeast, and they're traditionally more sort of lower socioeconomic areas. So it's fixing the problem to make it accessible to all, I think, is really important. Mine do some brilliant work in sort of information and supporting local communities with different minds everywhere, which is brilliant. But I think what we're trying to do is fill a void where we are focusing solely on men and focusing our education and resource on areas that men already gather, which is potentially down your pub, at your local football stadium, at your tech meetups. Where do men feel comfortable? How can we start conversation from there? Because I think what we want to do with Two Pints Deep, and the real message is remove the need for a couple of pints for men to speak about their mental health, that unfortunately a lot of us potentially do need to work up that courage and feel like we're in that safe space. So eventually, the whole aim of the charity is to not need the alcohol to support and fund these conversations. But understanding that that's a process and some people aren't ready to have these conversations yet. So that's where the education and support comes in from our standpoint.
Great, yeah. And the charity's future is looking great as well. I mean, you've recently, I mean, last year or so, launched 2 Miles Deep, which is in association with that. And that's just great because, I mean, I see it all the time. I can't run anymore, but if I could, I'd join you guys. But it just looks great because it's sort of the community actually, so it's a bit of face to it, if that makes sense. I think one great side of charity is it's anonymous and you can get involved and have you open up without an us knowing. Also, the good thing is that it can be open and out to people and groups. Is that a great thing you can do now, is just having that group sessions going for a pint?
Absolutely. And I think in real life connection is everything, and you can take so much time online, but when things go wrong, you can't really notice these signs and symptoms within your friends online if you're not actually seeing them in person. And what we want to do is run these events, run our 2 Miles Deep sessions, spread them around the UK, but also run different types of events for different types of people to feel like they can come down and learn about something interesting, do something interesting, all for free, and also feel part of a movement and part of something. I think it's very easy to feel alone in this current world, where the most connected we've ever been, but also with the loneliest we've ever been. So I think it's important that we do offer ways to find connections within our events, and also that's the real takeaway from what we do. 2 Pints Deep isn't a place to stop, and it's not a destination. It's something to help you on your journey. So how can you create relationships that could then benefit you and your mental health further down the line?
And living with a mental illness, like for me, actually, it's never gone away. I was sort of what you call Cat 5, which is sort of the biggest one a couple of years ago when I was properly unable to walk and stuff. Now it's gone down to Cat 1, Cat 2. So it doesn't really affect me day to day. But there are days, like even yesterday, it got me a bit down. And I think the thing is, mental health does stay with you. It's every day, it's part of your life. And what would your advice be for people struggling? Would it be go to your mates first? Do you think that would be the ideal situation? Or I would say pretty much anyone you're happy to talk to?
I think it depends on where you're at and what your current situation is. Now, there's three things you can really take into account, and it's person, is considering who that person, if you are going to have a difficult conversation, who is your person, who's your one person that you feel comfortable doing and having that conversation with? If you don't have a person like that, that's what we're there for, that's what Samaritans are there for, that's what Shout's there for, to be that person and be your person. Secondly, environment. If your person, let's say it's your mate and he's a big football fan, and probably half time of a really intense game is not the time to bring up this conversation. So taking into account the environment of where you are and what you're doing, to make sure that the conversation, when you do sort of jump in and take that conversation, is going to be receptive and you're going to be able to open up and you have the time and space. And the last one is timing, making sure that it's a time that you feel most comfortable to be able to have this conversation too. So there's lots of things to consider, I guess, when opening up. But I think the real takeaway of what we try to spread within our movement and within the content we produce is even when you're feeling good, it's important to start speaking about your feelings. These provide opportunity to your mates to either agree to disagree, and it allows those avenues into those conversations to be a little bit easier. And we owe it. We have a responsibility and vulnerability to our friends now where it's important that we start speaking about this topic or start speaking about our feelings more because we can't wait until it's our mate. It's one of those issues now that we see these numbers rising and it doesn't become real until that's someone we know, and that's far too late. So we need to have a preventative view on this topic and conversation and feelings and emotions rather than a reactive view. We hear so many times like you never would have guessed when it comes to people talking about who they lose to suicide. I think the statistics tell us, and we keep having these conversations with people, it's time to start guessing now. So yeah, those conversations are really, really important to have with those around us and those that are close to us.
I think over the last year as well, it's just a lot of people are getting involved, and I see not just your charity, but I see like even for the marathons and whatever, people are actually doing it for mental health now. Like I would say, 3 years ago, it really wasn't even talked about in society whatsoever, and then it's great over the last 3 years. I've seen it become this big thing. How can people, do you think, get involved in the mental health sector? Do you think it's by even as simple as having starting these conversations at the pub? So actually taking on challenges or joining charities like yours and raising awareness.
Yeah, I think a combination of everything really. I think it's important for people to give realistic, I guess, areas to grow for sure. Rather than thinking, right, I'm going to be a big advocate of this tomorrow. It's like, right, what small step can I take this next week to be a little bit more of an advocate than I already am, and making sure it's achievable and making sure it can become sort of habitual and routine for you rather than just expecting to be this big actionist next week about mental health and supporting loads of charities. It's got to be done in sort of small steps. And we have our exercise communities and events around the UK that we are going to be expanding. And there's also communities out there that exist that are doing brilliant things as well. So hopefully coming to work and we can bring that accessibility to people rather than them stumbling across it. We bring it to them. To allow people choice in the direction that they go. But I think it's really, really important that we start having these conversations and start supporting mental health charities. And I guess for us in particular, a lot of the content that we produce is how can we turn this awareness that a lot of people are showing over, like I said, over the last 3 years, how can we turn that into action? What are these small actionable things that we can do for the people in our lives? Because, like you said correctly, the topic has been raised. It's now time to start really acting on those things. And hopefully, the information that we pass through our content gives people small actions that they can then implement within their lives and support those around them and themselves.
Well, Luke, thank you very much for coming on, mate. It's the work you're
Yeah.
doing and the work that Two Pints Deep and all the other charities that are like yours are doing are A, saving lives, and B, really making a big change. And hopefully, it will continue long to the future. And I hope that I can get involved somehow next couple of years. Just through even starting the conversations. I think that's the best way to do it, and then work the way up. So thank you for coming on.
Brilliant, Henry, and thank you for creating this platform as well. You've done really well with this, mate, and sharing your story. And yeah, a lot of people will benefit from this. So I appreciate you taking the time and reaching out to me. And like you said, hopefully there's more to come.
Well, all hats off to Luke. What an inspirational man, and the absolutely amazing charities created. Hopefully, will go on to help loads and loads of people. I'm quite keen to get invested in this mental health space, and I think you should be too. Like we were saying, how you can get involved in the charities or even day to day by speaking up to or asking a mate how they are can really have a massive impact on how society treats mental health. And hopefully, in the next couple of years or so, we can get to a stage where the statistics for men and women are going to be going down, so the suicide rates or having mental health problems that are going to be very serious and reoccurring. So, I hope you enjoyed the series, hope you enjoyed the podcast, and we should be back for a very special Christmas special. I'm not going to quite reveal what it is yet. It's sort of an idea that I've had, and I've put it forward to my mate, and I think it will be a really cracking one. Of course, like I said, all the links for help are available down below. Or get in touch with Luke at 2 Pints Deep. I'm sure he'd love to hear from you. Help support the future of the charity, get involved, or even just follow it. It makes a huge difference to the movement we're trying to create. And go and check out all the episodes out there. Of course, this is the last episode, so if it's the first one you're listening to, there's plenty to listen from, and I'm sure we'll catch up with you guys soon. So, of course, follow us at Down the Farm Podcast, all over the social media, and stay safe, everybody. Thank you for listening, and bye for now.